humanity360.com. Inspiring stories and captivating images from around the world. Today we introduce you to a humble Haitian, Brother Pierre Saint-Vistal, a man who single-handedly created a safe home for abused and abandoned girls in one of the most desperate slums of the Western Hemisphere. Despite staggering odds, Brother Vistal is making a difference in his country one child at a time, one future citizen at a time, building better lives for a better Haiti. For more inspiring stories and compelling photographs, be sure to log on to humanity360.com. And now, today's feature presentation, City of God. Port-au-Prince, Haiti. While attending the seminary of St. Gerard Parish in Haiti, Brother Pierre Vistal made a horrible discovery that forever changed the course of his life. One night, I found a group of girls sleeping on the steps of the seminary. Some were little ones, no more than 6 or 7 years old. They were orphans fleeing rape and other abuses on the streets, and they came because they believed that God might protect them here in the shadow of the church. I was stunned, and I felt compelled to do something to help them, said Brother Vistal. At first, Brother Vistal did the only thing he could. He stood watch at night on the seminary steps, carrying a wooden bat to drive away anyone who might come to rob or abuse the girls. But he wanted to do more. With the idea of building a small home to protect and house the children, a safe haven in the midst of social and political instability, Brother Vistal turned to contacts in the United States and Canada for the financial support he needed. Eventually, he was able to purchase a small building in a slum area on the edge of Port-au-Prince known as City of God. Centre d'Aquiel, Welcoming Centre, now houses over 60 girls, just a portion of the estimated thousands of children currently spending their days and nights on the streets of Haiti. As we speak, Brother Vistal bends down to pick up 4-year-old Fedline into his strong arms, and wide white smiles spread immediately across both of their faces, pale teeth set off brightly against mahogany-toned skin and dark, closely cropped hair. Several other girls skirt along and cling to his side as he emerges from his small, stuffy office, so needy for fatherly affection and a sense of family. Many girls are orphans, others simply abandoned, and some are restivex, children whose parents have offered them through desperation into domestic slavery. Bienvenue à Village de Dieu is hand-painted on placards suspended from a blue metal archway at the entrance to the neighborhood. A lottery ticket vendor, boasting a partly green and orange exterior, flanks the right, and a haphazardly assembled collection of umbrellas and tarps gives shade to small drink and fruit stands on the left. The sign gestures a plea, a whispered prayer for compassion from above, while the tragic and inevitable stories that pass beneath it project the undeniable impression of a city and a people long forgotten by God. Few streets are accessible by vehicles. A small collection of vertically rectangular, cinder-block structures are painted, peeling, and patched with various whimsical colors, applied one random can at a time for decoration, or to advertise wares and services, hairstyling, used car parts, recycled hardware, secondhand clothing. Brother Vistal's welcoming center is situated about one block past the archway. A new third story of raw gray concrete pierces the skyline as one of the tallest structures in the settlement. Beyond the center of town, roads diminish into unmarked pathways that meander around and between a dense collection of shanties, structures fabricated from larger pieces of the same discarded material that fills every inch of the neighboring drainage ditch and trash heap, some lucky enough to utilize a few cinder blocks or a scrap of rusty corrugated tin. Carcasses of automobiles and old appliances nestle in mounds of shredded grocery bags, unsalvageable refuse, hundreds of plastic bottles, and human waste. Smoke streams upward from burning piles of garbage, reinforcing the stillness of the air and heavy, ever-present stench made even worse by oppressive heat and humidity. In many places, springtime showers are a welcome relief, offering a refreshing rinse to the usual layer of dust. Rainy season in City of God means flooding of the contaminated drainage canal, around and through the precariously built shacks, hanging onto each other for dear life. A long, straight dirt path runs the length of the settlement's southernmost border, with the canal sloping down to the opposite side. It serves as the most efficient and safest means of travel by foot from the city center to the far reaches of the slum. 5-gallon buckets go to and fro, hauling water from a tap in the center of town, balanced on heads with the upwardly extended arms of women and children, dressed in a pleasing potpourri of fading patterns and colors. Most of the day is spent indoors, the streets outside having become increasingly dangerous. A new kitchen with a solid floor, ample cupboard space, and brightly colored paint, once a separate structure, is now joined upwards to the second floor of the center. So is the theme of the building, an unpredictable and ever-expanding sculpture of new and used materials, stairs and hallways stitched together at unexpected joints with mismatched pieces, painted a patchwork of colors. Many girls flutter around in small groups, spreading chatter and giggles throughout the home. Others spend hours combing and braiding each other's elaborate hairstyles, humming along to jump rope rhymes which echo down the dimly lit corridors. Amber Walsh, a volunteer from Norwich Mission House, enters the building and is quickly surrounded by excitement and smiles. A pack of girls trail and cling to her devotedly as she makes her way around the house. She sits down for a moment, and the entourage goes immediately for her hair, blonde and straight, touching and commenting on the novelty in snippets of French, Creole, and English. Amber goes into Brother Vestal's office to discuss current events, and the group dissipates, returning to play or to relax in the dorms, rooms sparsely furnished with foam mattresses and bunk beds. Girls read a book quietly, hunch over homework assignments on the cement floor, or assemble a jigsaw puzzle which has only a portion of the pieces, a metaphor for what life has been so far and for what an uncertain future will bring. Participation is expected in household chores, including cooking and orchestration of meals. An impossibly long table in a room next to the kitchen seats at least 40, the smaller children eating together at a shorter one. Oversized bowls, each one with a heaping pile of beans and rice, are placed on the table with matching aluminum cups. An announcement is made which initiates a mad rush of footsteps down the stairs. All line up at a place setting and wait for the older girls to lead a prayer. The group then sits down and eats hungrily, each plate carefully left clean. At its worst, for a two-week period, the battling between factions became so fierce that all communication and transport was cut off. Blocked roads prevented the delivery of supplies, and banks were closed. Brother Vestal shed some tears those days, horrified that the girls should live this way, and not knowing how they would be able to get more food. Finally, some emergency funds were put together, and food was obtained within the immediate community. The situation in Haiti remains dismal, fraught with crime, murder, and gang rape, but has eased to the point that the children can return to school for a few hours each day. Brother Vestal has been approached by extortionists offering him protection in exchange for cash which he was unable and unwilling to give. Better locks, stronger gates, and his uninterrupted physical presence have had to suffice for now. Somehow, in the midst of the surrounding disorder, Vestal's safe haven manages to move ahead. The girls are performing well in school, have more confidence, and are eating enough every day. Recent construction has improved living conditions. Volunteers help out regularly and aid in the shelter's finances. Many hands, light load. A Haitian proverb rings true in this rare oasis of positive energy and action, which has become a group effort through the inspiration of this remarkable man. A compassionate soul with determination and quiet humility. Huge heart, gentle manner, warm smile. Welcoming Center has expanded to include an outreach program to provide education and health care to 600 additional children living in surrounding communities. Seminars are given to parents and teachers at a community training center which instructs them on matters of health, education, and children's rights. While on her deathbed, Brother Vestal's mother left him 7 acres of precious family land in his home community, Léogâne. This will be the site of Brother Vestal's next project, a school for the children there. With much work still to be done in City of God, the school will have to wait for a while. No doubt he will make it happen as soon as he is able. Work of a driven man, making a difference in his country one child at a time, one future citizen at a time, building better lives for a better Haiti.